Eurovision. Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
12 points,
Ireland.
Welcome to the Eurovision podcast, Shayna. Hello, new Shorby. You're welcome to a very special episode because today, myself, Connor, and Melfest Micheál are going to be discussing, yes, you've guessed it, Melody Festivalen. But first, give it up for my co-host Connor. Woo, woo, woo.
Shayna.
Hello,
hello, hello. Yeah, literally. How are you? How's things?
Looking forward to crossing over to Stockholm. Of course, please, a big warm welcome to the one, the only Melfest Micheál. Woo, 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 woo.
Shayna Ali Hoopa.
Ali Hoopa. That's very nice.
Everybody, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. She knows her Swedish. She has a boyfriend who likes Sweden, I can tell.
Can I just say, speaking of Melfest Micheál, I was so obsessed with Eurosong Weekend when we were out and about meeting people, and people would go up to you, Micheál, and be like, so are you the Melfest Micheál? You're not the Glasgow Micheál. No, it's really stuck.
I've noticed it's in your bio as well.
Did you peep that? That happened after Eurosong. I said, I'm not escaping it now, so I have to, like,
you're what's leaning that? Right in.
Exactly. If you can't beat him, join him. So Melfest Micheál is actually in the Twitter bio now. But yeah, the people were really coming up like, Melfest Micheál. I'm like, hello,
Shayna.
when I asked Micheál before we started the episode, like, how do I say hello in Swedish? I just thought Shayna sounded like a young one's name.
Sounds like Shayna. Shayna. You know the Irish name, Shayna.
Mm. Yeah. Shayna, your dinner's ready.
For fuck's sake, Shayna Doherty, come on for your dinner. That's what
I'm She's going to kill you now. We're getting an E on the episode, and she's been giving it to me recently for swearing.
On a non-cursing episode for the children.
Well, that's gone out the door for this one.
Under 18s, listen to this podcast.
Ah, feck it. We're Irish. Ooh. We're Irish.
True. Now, listen, housekeeping business. We've welcomed everybody. The discussion of the matter today, of course, is the Swedish national selection for Eurovision, which every single year we know is Melody Festivalen, affectionately called Melfest or Mello, to lots of fans. A really solid selection every year with slightly differing formats, which we'll get into, but generally it's very consistent and very efficiently run, very Swedish. Connor and I have had the pleasure of going before yourself last year.
Yeah, that was my first time, and then this will year of my second.
Time. This will be your second time. This will be my third year in a row. So I'd never gone before, and then the bug bit me, and now I just keep going every year. I swore 6 months ago I wasn't going to Belfast, but we're getting on a plane in 2 days to head to Stockholm.
She saw Danny Saucedo and was like, I have to be there.
I think that was it, to be honest. We are going to go through every song that's going to be in the Melody Festivalen final, this Saturday. But just before we do that, Micheál, you're on the ground in Stockholm. It's very much your home for the last number of years. You've been to Melody Festivalen many, many times. You've been to semi-finals as well as finals. And of course, you have had access, kindly, from SVT to watch rehearsal clips for each heat every week as they were coming out, and hearing the song snippets and getting a little bit of an insight into what's going on before the heats even take place. Could you tell us what are your overall feelings this year as a Melody Festival and superfan?
Well, I loved hearing all that. I was like, me? Is that really me? Look, jeez, there's no bother
to me.
Look
at that CV.
Not a wee here having a bio like that. We love to see it. Like you said, I've had the chance to hear the songs the Tuesday before every weekend, and then I get to watch the rehearsals on the Thursday. And the feeling this year, look, I don't know if I'm living in Diluli land where I just want a year where there's no clear runaway winner. And for me, I'm going with that narrative. I'm living in that space because I really feel that you could argue that, I know we'll get into the songs in a bit, but you could argue that Marcus and Martinez have the strongest staging, but like, does the song match? You know, we can go into that. So, and then are Sweden wanting to send something different? Because, you know, they have won, like they want to have, I mean, the idea is that you have fun when you're hosting it. You're not trying to take it back to back. Although SVT have said that they want to win and they said they've got winning songs. I can't say that I fully agree. I don't know where the I don't know where the plural comes in. I don't know where the winning songs are. I see like a good top 10 result, but I don't think Sweden are winning this year. And I guess the mood this year is that, like every year, people are feeling that Sweden are giving us the polished pop. And it's the same every time. We're getting generic stuff, but like that's what they're good at. That's what is done here. It's like, I hear the same stuff every year and I've just chosen to blank it out. You know, we've got a super strong final. We always do. So, yeah.
And what are your thoughts on the format changes this year? Because we've had five heats, six songs, and then the second chance round, Andre Chanson, is gone. That's kind of slotted into the fifth heat now for the last half hour. How have you found the changes and how has the perception of, you know, those changes gone down within Sweden itself?
They were hard to keep track of. I mean, I understand why Andra Hansen has gone. You know, when SVT looked at the viewership, it was always that week that it went down and then the final went back up again. So you obviously want to produce a show, a series or a season that is consistently watched. And the Swedish public spoke and it wasn't happening. So I get why they thought that they needed to revisit it, but they need to go back to the drawing board because no one was able to follow that. Like today, the talk in the office, the girls were like, so Mijo, what was that? And I'm like, y'all are Swedish and you didn't even know. So you can imagine us watching it like, so where did those points come from? And why are we voting on songs why are we putting songs that were just performed against songs that were released at the 1st of February? And why did the current number one single in the Swedish charts not go through? You know, Fruken Snusk beat Beyonce to number one, but how is she not in our final? Are we not trying to be a hit maker, Grant? You know, are we not supposed to have our heavy hitters in this final? So it's a flawed system. And I'm sure that when all that played out on Saturday night, they realized it as well and thought, oh, that didn't go to plan. So I actually don't know what a solution is. I was trying to think, like we had a discussion over lunch, the luxuries of living and working in Sweden. Mello is the lunchtime chat. So it was like, do we have it on the Sunday night? Or, you know, there needs to be a separation. There needs to be breathing space and a fair chance for everyone.
I did think that kind of second chance, whatever it was called, really, was strange. I mean, it doesn't, the optics aren't good when the two that then make it through are from the fifth heat, and that was on 30 minutes beforehand, and you're only seeing 40 seconds of each song. I mean, at least in Andre Chanson, it was a bit more of a level playing field that they all came back and had their 3 minutes to perform, as in a normal show. There's also a conversation to be had. I've seen some people suggesting online that you just do away with the whole second chance idea altogether. And why don't you have four heats where three songs make it through from each, or you have five heats where it's just two and you reduce the final to 10 instead of 12.
Yeah.
There's lots of options. I mean, there's an argument to be made then, you know, for the the entries that don't make it through heats, like, should they have that second chance? Because some songs are growers, and like, I've definitely had songs in the past that I've really liked that have then made it through Andra Shanson. So, but then you kind of wonder, if people aren't voting for it in the heat, is there any point in having it in the final when you kind right. of know they're going to be filling out the bottom places in the final? Is it not more exciting if you just don't know where people are going to place?
Yeah.
I also, in terms of the heats, like the second chance stuff aside, I really hate knowing who's won the whole heat, because it ruins a little bit of the mystery for me with the final. I would just prefer it to be Danny and Daughter are both through. We don't know who's won the heat, just to contain a bit of the intrigue for the final.
And I agree.
It's more exciting.
Mm.
Yeah, that was the old way. The first name got called, they performed, then the second name got called, and then they were just in the mix, and you just didn't know who would place above. Like, did Daughter get more votes than Danny, or did, you know, and that was the mystery and the excitement going into the final. And I mean, the fact that we've only had one Melfest winner come from Andra Hansen in 2013 speaks volumes. You know, the fact that we've had a winner from Andra Hansen in general is quite amazing, but yeah, it just goes to show, like, do they get a second chance? Like, do we just have our four heats and three from each, and then we go straight into a final? But I think that'll definitely be revisited for sure. There's a flaw here. And, you know, there was always going to be a path for Jay Smith to qualify, because he won Idol like a decade ago. He's got this narrative, the Swedish, he's a familiar face. So I think he would have been a good challenger to anyone in any Delta Havling. And then Annika really stood out for her vocals. That was a breather. It's a palate cleanser. So I see arguments why they got through, but there's just, as you say, Louise, the optics of how four from one Delta Havling have now, in the space of an hour, somehow ended up in the final. It's like, yay, that ain't looking good for viewers. The trust and stuff doesn't feel like it's there.
Yeah, definitely one to watch for the future. And I would say, you know, based on the reception online, and obviously, like you were talking about in Sweden, certainly something's going to change next year. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But let's get into the songs anyway that are going to be in the final. And we've got 12 great songs, great mix of genres as well. And we're going to kick it off with the first song that will be kicking off the show on Saturday night. And that is Maria Sir with When I'm Gone. So that is our opening song, straight to Melfest, Michal. I know you love this song.
So
what are your thoughts?
Love is an understatement. No, I have to be honest. Like, I created content with her last year. Her and her team are the kindest, friendliest, warmest. Like, we got a 15-minute slot, and we were there for nearly 30 minutes chatting. They were like, do you want to do more stuff? Like, and you're learning Swedish, Jesus. We should go for coffee together and teach each other Swedish. Like, so I'm going in with a bias that I like her, but then I heard that she was coming back with a dance track, and it felt like it really suited her personality. And then I heard the song, and I was like, and you'll even see in my review on Twitter X, whatever we're calling it, it didn't hit me immediately. I think I just wanted more for her, because I know all of her, and we've like met before, and I thought, God, it doesn't match the bubbly personality she has. But then seeing it all come together, and the fact that it just hasn't left my head since her heat, and then when the songs got released after the show on Saturday, it was the first one I went to, and it's still been on repeat. It's a banger, and the more I listen to it, and the more these days go on, I'm like, you know, it could, like, there's a path for her to win. She's a strong vocalist, it's a great stage show. She's given choreography, and, you know, people know her and like her. So I'm here for a Maria Sir win. What about you guys?
I have a question, Michal. You said that you love it. Do you love it?
I love it so much. But yeah, the way those lyrics are all layered on top of each other in the chorus, I always try to bring everything back to ABBA, but it was given like the way they compressed their vocals. It was nice. It's a really good track.
It's definitely a big improvement from her entry last year. And it, you definitely see that personality like you were talking about there come through. And the staging itself, like, it is so cool with the lasers and the dancers, and it definitely grabs your attention. And I think personally it's a great opening to the show for Saturday night. It's definitely going to grab you and bring you into the show and make you want to watch it and see what else is coming up. Like you, Michal, this has stuck in my head ever since I've watched the performance, and it's not something that I've, you know, gravitated towards anyway, but it just, I find myself cleaning my room or going for a walk and have it in my head of the minute of the song. So yeah, I'm really interested to see how this will do. This qualified straight off the bat. It was the top in its heat, wasn't it?
Liamo was the winner of that heat, but it was in Liamo's hometown, so he had a home crowd and a way of support. But it was one of the most watched Del Tevlings. So we have to think about that as well. And it's actually showing in like YouTube. She's still the second most watched finalist on YouTube after Marcos and Martinez. On streaming, she's up on top. And yeah, so her heat had the most voters and the most viewers. And the fact that she's aced all those different age groups, I don't think anyone's undermining her ability, but it just backs it up and shows that she's going to get a good result. Yeah. Thoughts become things. So the numbers are all there.
Certainly. Lou, what do you think of it?
I don't have much to add, to be honest. I agree with a lot of what you both said. I think this is a really strong opener. I'm really happy for her. I don't think this is the last that we've seen of her in Melody Festival, and whether she wins or not, it feels like she's already in, you know, only her second year, becoming a staple. It's great to see young talent like that coming through, and particularly given her story from last year and everything. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Maria. Really hope we get the pleasure of meeting her as well, like you got to, Michal. And yeah, looking forward to this opening, the final, very, very strong entry. It's probably just missing an edge for me. I think if there was maybe another like 8 or 9%, it could be a winner. It's just missing a certain X factor. That would be all for me. But it definitely wouldn't be a disappointing winner of Melody Festival. And it would be a great host entry. I guess that's what we're looking at. You know, it's already in the Eurovision final. So, yeah.
Would a dance break have given you an extra 8 or 9%?
I'm getting a bit of dance break fatigue. I don't know about you guys.
I mean,
at this point, like, I need someone to do a few backflips or something to be like, whoa, you know.
Because I did that she asked SVT if she could extend the track length and her stage time, because her team wanted to include a dance break for the final, but they got declined. So I actually believe that is a good thing. I usually like it, but I agree with you. The girl bop dance break fatigue is real. We imagine how tired we are. Jesus.
Get up off the floor, will you? Sing the song.
Are your knees not broke, love, doing all them flips? Get up. What I mean?
You'll dirty your leggings. Oh, do you know what bothered me so much? Like, Chanel's dance break is obviously so iconic, but like, how dirty was that Turin stage?
Oh.
Do you know, like, they all must have just had muck all over.
I remember tweeting, I was like, where's the window lean? Like, can we get a bit of window lean on this stage? Like, shiny. Make it shiny, lads. Like, the filth.
Should have got my mop out.
Up you go.
Chanel was the mop cleaning the competition. Ooh.
Oh.
Which came third, though. Anyway.
I'm still not over it.
Lo siento to any Spanish listeners. That's our cue to move on to the next song in the running order for Saturday's Melody Festival and final. In spot number two, we have the artist Jay Smith with Back to My Roots. Now I'm heading back to the start. I'm back to my roots now, baby. Oh, you think that I crashed and burned, but I'm lucky I fell apart. So, a country song, Melody Festival in Superstar Sister. His sister is Maria Smith, part of Smith and Tell, which I think we'll probably discuss. within this conversation, but of course we want to shine the light mainly on Jay Smith himself. He made it through from that second chance round after competing in Heat 5. Michal, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, like I said, even coming in to the start of the season when his name was announced, we knew that this was a big name. We knew that he was already going to be a heavy hitter based on his story and based on the relationship that he has with the Swedish public through Idol. And I think the song, it's a welcome breath of fresh air. Look, I'm not streaming it. I'm not listening to it. And when I hear it again on Saturday, it might be the last time I ever hear it. But like, I welcome it because we want our final to appeal to different demographics, and we want to tick as many boxes. You know, at the end of the day, it's a TV show, one of Sweden's biggest. So we want to be ticking all the boxes, and this definitely has its audience. And as you saw, like, it has its voters. Do I want it to win? No. Do I think it'll win? No. Am I happy it's there? Yeah. Yeah. And as you say, his sister, this could be a nice little peek. Like, oh, this world seems nice. Do me and my little band want to come along next year and answer everyone's prayers?
I love them so much. You know, she was technically on the stage. She was doing some backup singing for him. So she's technically now been on the Melody Festival on stage.
That's all people need.
I know, we're one step closer. I love a country song. I know you like a good country song as well, Connor. There's something really comforting about this. It's like a cup of cocoa in hand by the fire. Like, we've got the fiddle. As an Irish person, that always kind of resonates. It's very comforting. It's a hook that resonates. There's a little touch of Nickelback off it, which I'm like, oh, does that date it a little bit? Maybe. But some people really like that sound. It's really comforting. It's really comfortable. It feels really safe. And unfortunately, then it comes out of the realm of competitive a little bit, which, like, in a lineup of 12 strong songs, you need to have competitive edge, I think. So yeah, this isn't going to be lighting up any fires. He scraped into the final because he was second in that second chance round. So he just got in by the skin of his teeth. But I mean, well done to him for making it to the final. It's a huge achievement in itself. And I'm looking forward to seeing this live. I hope there'll be a nice atmosphere in the arena. What are your thoughts, Connor?
You're all very positive. Yeah, look, like you said, like, I'm very fond of an old country song. This is probably my last place of the Melfest bunch this year. I just can't connect with it. I think the staging's really, really cool. I love, like, the lyrics on the back wall, but, like, other than that, I actually forget it. Like, if this was further on in the running order, probably would be my toilet break of the final. But it's second place, so I probably won't be going that early.
They did it on purpose. We can't be running to the toilet in song two. We have to stick through it.
That's it. But yeah, look, it doesn't light up my fire. I was surprised to see it go through to the final in the second chance round. But Michal, when you explained a bit more about him and you know, the story, and obviously being in the fifth heat as well helped a lot. So yeah, look, not for me personally, not for me. But look, again, it's good to see it in the final with a bit of genre diversity. Certainly adds to that. And yeah, I don't think it'll come last though in the final. I think obviously, you know, his presence, or what's the word, like, his fame already will get him a few points from voters at home.
Older demographics might be a bit kinder to him if they're not going for the poppy dancey ones.
Yeah,
votes completely might be transferred to him nearly.
Completely agree. Yeah, definitely.
That's like a 60-75 televote kind of, that's where they'll get the votes. But yeah, this tied with Fruken Snusk in the second chance voting
points, yeah,
but it just happened that he got more points that night. But yeah, they both finished with like 124 points each, and that hurt. I felt
we
that
don't actually have a full Swedish language song in the final, and that's a shame. Fruken Snusk was the our only hope,
robbed.
With a banger as well. Robbed.
And I think on that note, Fruken Snusk, it's probably such a loss for SVT not to have Fruken Snusk in, because that entry, I think, was probably going to bring a certain audience that won't be there in the final now. And that's just a shame that they're not reflecting what the public are loving. Because Frokensnus got more. They combined two sets of voting, right? So Frokensnus actually won the initial like set of voting the way they did it. And then, yeah, Jay Smith and Annika just had that leg up, maybe from a bit of recency bias, perhaps, in that second round of voting. So, yeah. And there was a good, like, diddly eye element in Brooklyn's song as well.
It was just different. It was a bit of practice.
It was kind of like the bandits with the hat on.
Got a horse outside.
There was a fiddle drop, you know what I mean? Like, this epidong fiddle drop, like... It would have appealed if it went to Eurovision. It would have definitely appealed to mass. But yeah, like I said in the beginning, it's the number one song in the Swedish charts right now, and it's a big loss for SVT not to have the hit of the country there. So yeah, flawed system.
Indeed, Connor, I'd like you to introduce.
Oh yes. So third up in the running order is Lisa Ajax with "Awful Liar."
Tell us the truth.
I love this song so much. Like, this is the song I'm streaming the most on this playlist, and I didn't expect it. This
are you
was
okay,
on
the Connor. Are you in your feels?
You sound like my sister. She always asked me that because she could always see that I'm listening to like Adele and stuff. She's like, "Hey, all right, love, it's life okay." Yeah, I don't know why this has touched me so much, because like, it's not groundbreaking. It's her other songs are actually better that she's competed in Melfest before, but this one I'm just gravitating towards. I love the fact she's pregnant. I would love her to win because I love the whole like danger element of, oh, is she going to give birth on the stage? Is she made to drop? Like, that's so funny.
It is Eurovision. Anything could happen.
Mean? Do you
love,
know what I mean?
Love, peace, giving birth on stage.
So I love the whole like danger element of, oh, is she going to go? Is she going to go? But
she gonna pop?
Is she going to pop? Yeah. But yeah, like, look, the staging for this is not very creative. It's very basic. Few dancers, a rock that she gets to sit down for a few minutes on. Like, yeah, it's not groundbreaking, but like, for me, I'm streaming this nonstop. It's in my head nonstop. And yeah, I really, really love it. Is it going to win? Probably not. Should it win? Probably not. But personal favorite of mine going forward. Michal, what do you think?
So, Lisa Ajax, this is my least favorite Melfest entry from her, like as a solo attempt. I have such a soft spot for her. I really like Lisa Ajax. I always root for her. But yeah, this is her weakest entry. I loved it when I saw her name was announced. I was super excited. I've loved My Heart Wants Me Dead. I love Torn. But this one for me is maybe my least favorite solo attempt at Mellow for her. It's it sounds like it could be from Zara Larsson's 2017 So Good era, which is a compliment, but it's also 2017. You know, it's not fresh. We've heard ballads like this before. I think she sounds great, but I think she just deserves a better song, a staging package. But maybe she just wants something to do. So I hope she's having a nice time here. We're glad to see her. We support working moms. Shayna.
We really do. Shayna. We really do. Time for me to mop up. I'm not going to lie. Lisa Ajax is a person. Legend. Melfest legend. She's great. I pretty much just like all of her entries. This is probably my favorite one. Michal, you might remember one of my first ever Eurovision Hope reactions. I think it may have been my first, was Melfest 2017. I remember her song, I don't give a. I went on a rant. I was like, why does she think she's so cool swearing on the Melfest stage?
Not you, Curtin Beef with Lacey Ajax. Think it's cool.
So cool. I actually do love her. This is probably my favorite of her entries. I think it's strong. She sounds good. I liked her other one, Torn, actually, a couple of years back. But yeah, like this is kind of middle of the road. I think third in the running order suits this. And I think it shows her range really nicely, shows her off really nicely. But I don't think she's going to be the host entry in Malmö this year. I think she's done super well to get to the final and get her streams and get that coin. Because who do we support? We support working mothers.
Working moms.
Or working moms to be. I don't know if she has a child yet or not. Maybe this is her first. Maybe this is an additional child. I don't know. But we support working mothers. Okay.
Like an election slogan. We support working mothers and mothers to be. There we go.
We do. We do. Listen, it's relevant. We have a referendum coming up. Anyway, next up in the running order, a totally different switch of genre, switch of atmosphere. We have the group Smash Into Pieces. They came third last year, and they've returned with their song, Heroes Are Calling. When the skies are falling, hear the heroes calling. Hall, we're going to start with you. Smash Into Pieces, podium place last year, very much seems to be loved by the Swedish public, apparently particularly with Swedish children, which I find really interesting. They seem to love them. What are your thoughts on their entry this year? Heroes Are Calling.
Ooh, I'm happy to see them back. I think there was a period of rock drought at Mellow. I think before last year, the last time we had rock was 2013, which was 10 years. So now they're back. They're giving us their sound. You know, it's that 2000s Linkin Park kind of nod. It's very soundtracky. They're here with this incredible stage, and as always, you know, with the, like you said, it appeals to the kids. The guy who's masked with all the flashing lights. Kids in the arena always run up to them and they want photos with him. So, you know, they appeal to masses because the parents will enjoy the sound and the kids will enjoy it because they look cool. They came third last year. I don't think this year they're going to match those heights, but I never underestimate a rock music vote when it comes to Mellow. It's a popular genre here. And with them not having any direct competition again this year, sonically, you know, I could see places 5 to 7 or something for them. What about you guys?
This is a bit meaty. Like, it's got a touch of EDM. It's got a touch of pop. Like, we have Jimmy Joker as one of the songwriters. So you can look at this in one of two ways. You could either look at it and be like, this is great because, like, they've just put the rock into, like, more of a mainstream area and it, like, slots in nicely into the Melfest final. Or, like, conversely, you could look at it and say they've just watered down what they were doing last year and, like, mixed it in with a bit more pop. And should they have stayed a bit more rocky the way it was last year? I mean, I still enjoy this entry. I do probably prefer last year's. And I agree, Michal, I think third place would probably be a big ask for this particular song. Never say never. But I think, you know, top 5, top 6 would be quite well deserved, particularly considering it's really the only song representing that style of music. But I like Smash Into Pieces. I'd be happy for them to keep pursuing things at Melody Festival, and I think it's good to have them there, and hopefully it encourages other bands to turn up and apply. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, not much to add really, to be honest. You guys have nailed the head on everything. I prefer their entry from last year. I think the staging was better last year. I think you summed it up perfectly, Lou. It's just a watered-down version of 6 Feet Under. And yeah, they would be doing very, very well to be getting third place. But like you said, Michal, don't underestimate that rock vote, because we, even at Eurovision, we underestimate it all the time. But people who like rock will gravitate towards this, obviously, and will pick up votes. So I definitely think kind of a mid-table finish for them would be a good thing for them. But I would love to see them go to Eurovision someday, because we know the Nordic countries do rock so well, and we haven't really seen that from Sweden at Eurovision recently. So it'd be really, really cool to see what Sweden would bring with a rock entry to Eurovision, but not for me this year, unfortunately. But yeah, we're going to move on. So this is the fifth song in the running order. This is Give My Heart a Break by Cassiopeia. There we go. That is Give My Heart a Break. Lou, kick us off. What do you think of this song?
Oh, I love it. Like, it's bubblegum. It's Cassie as we know her. It's bright staging. It's fun. I was going to say costume. It's fun clothing. She's quirky. She's cool. She's fun. I mean, we have to add what an incredible songwriter she is and how much she's contributed to the world of Eurovision and beyond, you know? Co-songwriter for Tattoo last year. Like, that's a huge feat. And also a songwriter for the American Song Contest winner. So, you know, Cassie is really a well-established songwriter as well as an artist in her own right. I really loved that I Can't Get Enough. I Can't Get Enough. I still stream that all the time from 2 years ago, wasn't it, Micheál? Cornelia's year. And I didn't appreciate that song as much until I traveled to Stockholm and saw it live. And then I was like, whoa, this is girly. This is fun. I'm into this. This is like bubblegum at its best. I love a bit of bubblegum pop. I'm not like streaming this song quite as much. I still enjoy it. I just don't find it quite as catchy. But I don't know. I've learned from my mistakes in the past. I'm willing to go out to Stockholm this weekend, have the privilege of seeing her and then maybe enjoying the song a little bit more. I think this is going to be middle of the pack. I think Cassie's done well to make it to the final. And I love her. I love her. Not much is going to change that. She's a Eurovision legend already and a Melfest legend. And good for her. Micheál, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I agree with you. I was a big fan of Just Can't Get Enough. I was happy to have it there. This one isn't as immediate as her 2022 entry. My expectations were super high though after Just Can't Get Enough, after being involved in Tattoo. And so this one fell a little bit short for me. But we have to say congratulations to her because this is the first of two songs that she has in the final this year. So she wrote this one and she also wrote Effortless. She's involved in that team of writers for Jacqueline's song. So that's a big feat. I think it's her qualifying that night along with Effortless was the first time someone's ever done that, I think. So that was a nice little record to be broken. But yeah, she placed like ninth in 2022. I don't know if this is going to make it higher than that on Saturday. And I don't know if it deserves it, you know. I think she did herself a disjustice. Maybe she's a better songwriter for other artists than she is herself. Yeah.
I was literally just about to say that. I'm new to Melfest compared to you guys. So you know a lot more about the back catalogue with songs. But for me, when I saw that she was obviously involved with Tattoo last year, even other songs that I saw floating around on Twitter, I was expecting a lot from her. And I do remember her 2022 entry. And again, that year didn't really light my fire. And this year, just this grates my eardrums so much. I just can't stand it. It's just that one song. I'm just like, oh no. And it's so annoying because on this playlist on Spotify, it's the song after Daughter's Song. So every time Daughter's Song finishes it, this starts playing. I'm just like, oh, skip, like next. But look, I think the staging for it's really cool. It matched the song, that kind of pop of color, the yellows and the hot pinks. And I love her outfit. But for me personally, like this just, it's not my style of music. Not for me at all. So I would expect this to be low on the scoreboard on the night. I just don't see it getting, there's better songs to be voting for in this final. So look, could be wrong, but we'll see.
All right. Moving on to the next in our running order, another entry that made it through from the second chance round. She did win the second chance round, and she really actually put it up to Medina in heat number five in terms of results. She did very well. Her name is Annika Wickehalder, a Melfest debutante. Congratulations to her. And Annika is competing with the song Light.
Oh,
Okay, light. I'm not going to be hugely positive on this one, so I can sandwich if that's a thing we want to do. I don't want to put a dampener. Michal, kick us off, please.
Yeah, I can kick us off by echoing what you said. She really didn't make it easy for Medina to qualify from their Deltavling. She was only 3 points behind them, which kind of came as a surprise. I think, you know, for a debutant to come in with a song that we have heard before, you know, this is a song from the Patrick Sean, Melanie Webb, Mama's World that we have heard, and it's just repackaged differently. The only difference and the selling point is her and her voice. I think that is what's taken and carrying this package. And when you listen to the songs, all 12 back to back, it stands out because it's not rat-da-da-da. It's not a dance break. It's not what people might say generic radio pop. Okay, the song is, but her, she is selling this, and that's what I will praise about it. I'll praise her. And I don't know, anything could happen. You know, she could challenge for a top five finish. The juries will eat this up, I think, because of her. But, you know, just from looking at the votes from the public and how all the age groups kind of agreed on her mixed with the jury makes me feel that she's going to finish no lower than, I'd say, 6 or 7.
I was really shocked, I'm not going to lie. Like, very happy for her, but I watched this heat and I was like texting someone during it and they missed the song. They were like, how was that one? And I was like, oh, terrible. Like, I just didn't rate this at all. And as you said, Michal, like, she's incredible. She is such a beautiful voice. She has a lovely smile. She's a really like normal looking person. And I don't know if you have any, no, but it's in like, you Sorry. Can tell she's not like a fully packaged pop star. Like right. You can tell she's a debutante. You know what I mean? Like, She looks around the stage like she's in awe. She's like, whoa, I'm here. Like, I'm in Melfest. But like, I don't know. I was just missing something from it. Like, I don't know. Was there something really endearing about her to the Swedish public? I don't know. Michal, can you fill in the gaps there? Does she have a
backstory? I think exactly what you know, there's nothing. The fact of everything you just said, it translated in a night where we had a sparkly, polished Marcus and Martinez performance. We had lots of party with Medina. Her shyness and newness to all this and her authentic, like, ooh, like, this is crazy big. Like, I'm really new to this. That translated because, again, like I said, The Office was talking about it today. The girls liked it. It resonated with the everyday Swede. They just thought, oh, there's a... We know her, you know, we know that personality. And, you know, we forget sometimes people do vote based on how, like, how much they resonate with someone.
And she's because I feel like Irish people love that, don't we? Like, we love right. seeing, like, a normal person with, like, a big talent. It's like, why shows like X Factor always did so well mm-hmm. for many years and stuff. I just wish she had a better song. Like, it's just the song for me, just like the package around it is like really sweet, but the song just doesn't do it for me, unfortunately. And like, I love the Mamas. So like having Patrick Jean as a songwriter, I really hoped would have made it appeal more to me. But yeah, just the song, I guess, at the crux of it isn't for me. What are your thoughts on it, Connor?
Yeah, like when I first watched it, I wasn't immediately, you know, interested in it. You know, I think that's fair to say for me. But over the last few days, since I've watched the performance on YouTube a few times, it has grown on me a little. Her voice is incredible. Like, her voice, my God, probably one of the best vocalists that we have this year. But yeah, the song itself just isn't it. It's given me kind of, you know, UK Decides vibes from, you know, 2017, 2018, just something that you would kind of find in any random national final. But the staging for it, look, it elevates the song herself, like her vocals elevate the song. So, yeah, look, I think for a first entry into Melfest, this is incredible. And I would be interested to see how it does. Like, Michal, I'm surprised that you were saying there that, like, this was the talk at The Office. And, you know, that will translate into votes, ultimately. So I would be wary of this, you know, knocking down some of the favorites when it comes to the final slot. But I think she would be doing very, very well to be getting into the top five. And kudos to her for getting to the final. I don't think anyone would have called that happening, but yeah, fair play to her.
That is it. Next up in the running order, woo, we had last year's third place, Now we're going to last year's runners-up. Yes, a duo, twins, in fact. They are Marcus and Martinez. And this year, they are sending the song Unforgettable. It's unforgettable, unforgettable, and it feels so good. Oh my God.
Jesus.
The Norwegian Jedward. I love them. I love them. I better not call them that when I meet them. I mean that with love, though. Like, that's like affectionate, you know? Like, I love Jedward. Marcus and Martinez, I think I love them more than Jedward. Do you know?
Why do you keep comparing them to Jedward? They're just twins. That's it. They can sing.
I'm an Irish Eurovision fan. Oh, okay. Jesus. I have certain landmarks in my life. God. I see male twins and I'm like, Jedward. Marcus and Martinez, I loved her last year. It was my winner. I know that's maybe a little bit controversial because Queen Noreen, love her, but I absolutely adored her last year. I'd say in terms of like song quality for me, Air would edge out Unforgettable. In terms of like streaming quality, I just enjoyed Air that bit more. But I love the performance of Unforgettable. It's really giving some Melody Festival and staging of the past, and it's escaped me what it was. And that's really going to annoy me. So I'll come back to it if I think of it, or maybe Micheál, you know what I'm talking about. It was some male solo act, Melfest in the last years, the kind of like computer codes on the background.
I saw that on Twitter. I can't remember his name. I think it was like maybe 2016, 17, one of those.
That's an Oscars, yeah. It'll come back to me. But I love the kind of like entering into Marcus and Martinez's world and the opening camera shot. It was giving a little bit of Benjamin and Grosso, Dancy Wolf, you know, with like the strobe lights going. I love the addition of the dancers. I think it fills up the stage a little bit more. With Air, we didn't need the stage filled because we had that light show. This year, I think it would have been empty. So the dancers is a great addition. They are vocally very solid. Don't know if you guys saw going around on Twitter the like Melody Festival and the like main mic footage going around where you can hear everyone's vocals. That was great crack. Marcus Martinez sound really, really good vocally. In fairness, like as I'm a fan of this, I know they're not bringing anything brand new, and I can see why maybe people won't appreciate them as much for that, because like it's not like got a big edge to it. It's like not a million miles away from where they were last year, but this won its heat. They have a lot of fans. They came second last year. I think they're in for a good result this year. I would be really happy if they win. I think it'd be really cool. A Norwegian duo being the host entry in Sweden. That would be quite cool. And it's a great entry. And one of my favorites this year, in case you haven't guessed. Connor, I don't know if you're agreeing with me or not. You're being very quiet.
Yeah,
you're putting me on edge.
No, I agree with elements of what you've said. Like for me, this is... it's funny enough, when you were talking about Lithuania, you said like the song is... all right, but like the staging does it, and that's how exactly I feel about this.
Fair, yeah.
Unforgettable, like the song is very forgettable, ironically, but the stage show brings you in. You're instantly captivated. The twins captivate you as well, but the song it's not as good as Air, and I think that's the shame in it. But look, I think it's a great entry. Like, there's a lot of pressure on the lads to come back the year after they finish runner up. Like, I think they've done a great job with the song, and probably it is going to win on Saturday, I think, in my opinion. I think this will sweep the board. But yeah, I'm disappointed. But at the same time, like, Air was so hard to match, and I think they've done a great job. Like, there's so many elements from Air that you can hear in the song. I know a lot of my friends who are in that kind of techno music, they love the hard bass that you're getting in the chorus. And for me, like I said, the stage show elevates this, and I'm just happy that it's actually streamable, because Air I can't stream because it's in the wrong key, whereas this matches the live performance that we're getting it. So I'm actually glad I can listen to the song this year. But yeah, for me, it's not my personal winner, but it's definitely up there. I think it's probably my second or third, but we'll probably be seeing this in Malmo, in my opinion, I think. But we'll have to wait and see. Anything could happen. Michal, what are your thoughts on the Twins?
I'm so torn because, like with Maria Soar, when I met these guys last year, they were the loveliest, sweetest, kindest people, like introducing themselves. And I'm like, I know who you are. Like, everyone in this room knows who you are, but you will still say, hey, I'm Marcus. What's your name? I'm Martinez. Oh, you're from Ireland. Cool. The conversation was so as if you've just met somebody at a pub. So then I'm going in with like, oh, I have to like it. And I feel maybe that's what it is. I felt a lot of pressure to like this, and really, I don't know if I've said it out loud, but yeah, I mean, I think I'm disappointed. I think I'm underwhelmed just because it's so similar to Air. Like, you can sing Air along to some parts of this, and I find myself doing it, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if I should be doing this. And it's exactly what, is it Arthur, the judge on Euro song, said about Erica Cody, like, you shouldn't be able to compare songs with other songs. And we're comparing it to their last song, and it's compared to a lot of Melfest songs. It's very Liamo. It's very something Anthony Wald would have done in his time. I don't know. I'm probably living in a world of delusion, but I don't know if I'd want this to win. It would be the first time in a long time that Sweden wouldn't be near my top five. But there is no doubt about it that they are a million miles ahead of everyone in terms of the package they're given. You know, the rest of the acts are handing the win on a plate to them because they have set the bar so high with that production, the way they hit all the moves, as you say, their vocal. It's the best overall package, but separate the package and the styling and the vocals away from everything, strip back the song, is not great. And I'm sad about it because I really want to root for them.
You know what showed it up a bit, and I think in Melody Festival and this year showed up a couple of songs, when they would announce that like an act had made it through to the final, and then they would just be like in the green room and start singing really strange, and they'd just be singing in the green room, then they'd bop around the crowd a bit, and then they'd end up on the stage and they wouldn't have, you know, all of their staging set out because they'd obviously just found out they were through. And with like some entries, it was grand. It just worked and you sang along, bopped along. This did show it up a little bit, I think. Like, and their dancers did come out and join them at a point, and they did the choreo. And once they started hitting the choreo, I was like, ah, it's back a bit. But up until that point, it was kind of like, oh yeah, the song's not really the song. It's probably a shame, just, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but it's just probably just a shame they entered Air the same year Loreen was in Melody Festival, and like maybe if they'd waited a year, like Air would be sailing, I would say, this year.
Yeah. But, and I just like the trajectory of Sweden with Cornelia, Loreen. I'm like, okay, I felt like we were going away from that almost squeaky, polished Sweden that gets criticized. But, you know, they do it so well. Biggest pop music export in the world. Why shouldn't they? I guess I just wanted more or something a wee bit different from they're derivative of themselves, and that's a shame.
Fair point. Connor, I would like you to introduce our next act, please.
Up next is 8th in the running order, and it is another returnee. This is Daughter with It's Not Easy to Write a Love Song. I want you to feel. She is back. It's not easy to write a love song, and it certainly isn't, because it's a lot of emotions with a love song. Not that I've ever tried to write a love song, but anyway. Daughter, she is back with a ballad. Lou, kick this off for us.
Is this because you want to mop up for me?
Yeah, exactly. I want to do the mopping up this time.
Yeah, look, Daughter is amazing. Like, you know, no disrespect to her. I think she's queen. She's a beautiful voice. I love her style. I like so many things about Daughter. I just really wish I liked her songs more. I'm genuinely saying this, like, because I never loved Bulletproof or Little Tot that much. And this year I was like, no, I really want to understand the daughter hype train. Like, I really want to get it. Like, I'm going into this with an open mind. Like, I really hope I like her song. Like, I was rooting for her. We were all rooting for you. I'm trying to figure out what it is. I just don't connect with it. Even the staging, like, it feels very dark, like the kind of rocking back and forth up on the platform. Is it a piano she's on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She looks amazing. She sounds pretty good. She's even got like that Ellie Goulding rasp to her voice that I normally like, the like little touch cursive singing, but I can't get into it here. I don't know. I just can't connect with it. Maybe it feels a little bit cold. Maybe in Melody Festival, and I'm just someone who enjoys more of the glitter and the lights and stuff, that it could literally just be that. That's what I'm looking for. That's what feels safe to me in this selection. I don't know. I don't know why. It's probably just a personal preference. I can't get into it. I can appreciate everything around the song. It's kind of a similar situation with Annika, actually, where like the artist is great, the setup is good, but I just, yeah, can't get into the song, I'm afraid. Michal, what are your thoughts on Daughter?
I'm trying to think how to word it. I'm a Daughter stan this year. Let's say it like that. This is one of my favorites this year. This is the one I went to as well to add to my playlist straight away after the show on Saturday. I was part of the not so sure in 2021 with Little Tot. I was like, I don't get the hype. Bulletproof, I came around to the hype, but this one was very instant for me. For me, I think I described this as all her songs, the best parts mixed into one and stirred up. I really like it. I love the gradual build until the big explosion at the end where she really shows off her vocals. I think the song lends itself to the more simple staging where you can just see the emotion on what she's saying and singing. And that performance, she was ill. She didn't really have a voice the days before. So I'm like, wow, for a performer to do that, if you're sick, I'm looking forward to hearing her this weekend. And I think in a year like 2024, where we do have our Europapa, we do have our Baby Lasagnas, we have, Jesus, what have we not got? This would stand out. This is, you know, it's beautifully sung, it's very melodic, it's raw. Sadly, I did hear a lot of comparisons to, like, it feels like it's a mixture of Cornelia and Loreen with the styling and the way she's on her back and on the floor and her knees, and then that kind of like raw side of Cornelia. And I have to agree, it's too soon after both of those songs, so I don't see her winning. And I don't think she's going to match second place or fourth place, you know, her two highest positions. I think, sadly, it doesn't seem to be landing for a lot of people, but I can say that I'm streaming. I'm doing it.
It's funny, Michal mentions, like, the potential for her in Eurovision, because we had a conversation about this maybe a week ago, mm-hmm. Connor, where we were saying that, like, it could really suit Sweden to send something, like, calmer in
yeah.
the ballad region, just with how hectic Eurovision's getting. But Connor, you love Daughter. I really want to know what you think.
Yeah, I love her music, not only her Melfest entries, but just her other songs in general. I definitely recommend anyone go and look at her other songs that she's released.
Do you like Bon Voyage?
No, actually, no.
That's the one I like.
No.
Baby,
that's the one I don't like.
I like that one.
But yeah, no, I think, look, Daughter, it's not easy to write a love song. It took me a while to get around to this because I was like, oh, is it as good as Bulletproof or Little Todd or Cry was her other entry, wasn't it? It wasn't grabbing me instantly, but then when I saw her on the stage and her performance and just the energy that she was putting into it, also knowing that she was ill as well, like, that took a lot to do. I was instantly gripped by this, and this is my personal winner. I would love to see this represent Sweden. But yeah, I understand the critiques of is it too soon after Loreen and Cornelia, but like, I love those entries. I understand it. I want to keep on this train, you know, instead of sending that polished Swedish pop that we get year in, year out, and we know that Sweden can do. I love this kind of journey we're going on with this, just this rawness, and you're in the final anyway. So what, you know, Are you going to win Eurovision anyway? Probably not with any of the other songs. So why not just send a really, really good singer with a really, really good song to Malmo? Why not? The stage show itself, I like the elements of it, but for me, it's a tiny bit messy. I don't think you need all that kind of, you know, on top of the piano, you know, sitting at the chair with the piano, then suddenly coming out on your own, feeling the body. You know, I don't think it needs that. I think Dotter herself can just perform the song and it would probably actually get more people on board with it because it is just building into that raw emotion of the song. But yeah, look, I love the song. It's my winner of the year, but do I see it winning Melfest? Unfortunately not, but I just hope we get to see Dotter at Eurovision someday because she's giving me so many good songs on my playlist. She actually released a song last year, No Room for Love, and I would love to have seen if she just waited a year to actually put that into Melfest because I think she would have sailed through with that. But look, this will be one I'll be streaming for weeks and months ahead. And I hope that a miracle happens on Saturday night, but I don't see it happening, unfortunately. But look, keep smashing it, Dotter, and my winner of the year for me.
Well, what will be. Que sera, sera. My granny used to love the que sera, sera. She used to sing the older version. But yes, of course, next up in the running order is Medina with que sera. Micheál, Medina, crowd pleaser song. We could potentially conga. I feel conga. Come on now. We got the conga tingles. World Cup vibes. What you feeling?
It makes sense if this wins because, as you say, like, we have an Olympic summer coming up. It's a sports chanty song. They are the host nation. They ain't looking to win. Just have fun. Get the people pumped. It could be our first Swedish language tie. I say that like this with a print. What are these?
Inverted commas.
I say that with inverted commas or Swedish language because there's also Spanish and French and whatever else in there. But this is just a whole lot of fun, isn't it? And it's a... This is what I would like to see Sweden send. If you're not looking to win, just go and have a good time. And this is it. This is the package. It's as you said, it's football, chanty, summary. We have a key change. So there's 12 extra points going for me. But whether or not Sweden gets behind it, it has been challenging Marcus and Martinez. It's actually number one on the Swedish Spotify charts at the moment. And for a second day, so it's been 2 days, number one. Marcus and Martinez are slowly creeping up. But can we go off streaming when Fruken Snusk is winning the streams and didn't get through? I don't know. But and then the fact that Annika almost qualified over this, I don't know. My little candle of hope slowly dims. But, you know, when we watch it on the final night, things could change. But I would like this to represent Sweden. I would. It's about time.
I agree. For me, I think this should win. Because like we were saying earlier, there's nothing really in this pool that will win or challenge for a win. And I think as a host country, you're meant to have fun. You're meant to have a party. And that's what this song does. You know, you're up on your feet, you're dancing, the pyro, the key change. Like, you'd be a fool to be sitting down and not reacting to this whatsoever. A televote would love this, like you said, having Swedish in the song, you know, having Sweden actually send a bit of Swedish would be great as well. This is such a bop, and we know Medina do it so well, like year in, year out. Like, when they come to Melfest, they always bring us the bangers. And for me, like, I hope to see this in Malmo. Like, this, we'll obviously see it on Saturday itself in the final, but like, imagine the party that people would be having, waving the flags, everyone losing their shit to this song. It would be so much fun.
Lou doing a conga line around Friends Arena on Saturday. Can't wait to see it. I'll take videos. I'll be dancing, and next thing I see is Lou like, come on, everybody, let's go. Conga.
You can be sure if there's like any Latin name or like Latin flair to a song, like I'm all over it.
She's gone.
I'm all over it. And like, this is kind of like the little brother to Ale, 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 Ola, Ole, which like so many people love from Eurovision 2010. And I say that and also add, like, I don't by any means think K-Sera is dated or anything. I think it's just of its time. Like, that kind of like World Cup anthemic song is pretty timeless. I think it's always
enjoyable. And as well, it's kind of doing justice for a song we lost in the heat, and I know you love it.
Come on, shake your body.
And there's a really good one in Heat 5 that had kind of an
controller. Let me see your controller.
Bangers. Medina's song in Melody Festival for Any Demand, was that 2 years ago, Cornelia's year?
Mm-hmm. We got that to experience that live. How incredible. I've never experienced anything like it.
Did that close the show, Micheál, that year?
I think it did. Yep. I think
because I remember saying at the time, it felt like the roof was lifting off the Friends Arena. It was like, if you weren't jumping, the crowd around you were getting you to jump, because it was like up, up, up. Like everybody in the arena was just hopping. It was amazing. And like, they've brought such a similar feeling here. I mean, and lovely choreo that like everybody can join in, like with the armography, waving, whatever. And I love the big speakers on the stage. The dancers are a lovely addition. And yeah, it's just packaged really well. I think it's important to add, like, Marcus Martinez did beat this in the heat, and Annika really put it up to them. I was kind of worried because I wanted Medina to go through, and I was going, oh my God, like, and the last two age groups were like 3 to 9 and 16 to 29. And I was like, surely the primary school children.
It was a little too close for comfort, wasn't it?
And the teenagers will put them through, surely. And they did, thankfully. However, you know, you have to remember a Melody Festival and final night that like, it's more of a party, like people are around, they're looking for a good time. So I think they should probably hop up
jury as well
a little bit more. Yeah, I think international juries will like this too and show it a bit of love. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that this is out for the count. Like, I don't think it's looking as likely to win the whole thing, but it could definitely come for maybe a top five, which would be great for Medina. I'd love Medina to just win some year and bring a bit of crack, bring a bit of color and a bit of flair to Eurovision, you know, just Sweden, you don't have to be serious and polished and efficient all the time. We know you can do that well. Just show us a bit of fun. Show us a bit of colour and personality, you know? But this is definitely one the three of us are going to have some crack to in the Friends Arena. And I'm really looking forward to it. Who do we have next up?
Next up is Liamu with Dragon. Is Liamu with Dragon, another returnee to the Melfest Grand Final. Melfest, Micheál, why don't you kick us off with Liamu?
Hui. This was in the same heat as Queen Maria and Queen Frukensnusk, so I feel cheated. I don't like it there. I've said it. I don't like it. It sounds like this style of music that Imagine Dragons does that I'm not keen on. I don't connect with. But I will say the stage show, you can see that there was a lot of extra budget thrown in there. All those fire and all the on-screen and the ground screen graphics. And vocally, there's no notes. But it's just the song. It's like the definition of meh in a music form. Christ, no. But this will do well. Like, Swedes love him. Juries will really reward that vocal and package. But I would really not like to see this in Malmo, you guys. I'm telling you now, this is my toilet break.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat, to be honest. I just can't connect with the song. I think the stage show elevates it, but then I'm bored kind of throughout. And it's a shame because I do like Liamu's other entries that he's entered into Melfest in the past. And Yeah, Imagine Dragons nailed it on the head. Completely see where you're coming from. I don't like their music either. So not for me, to be honest. I don't have much else to add, Lou. What about you?
I really don't have a huge amount else to add either. I think it's fine. The staging elevates it. Great spot for the Emmy in slot number 10. That's a good spot to get. I don't know. I remember, was it Paul Ray Royals? Got this kind of surprise result in the juries just for kind of being on late and being like very slick and like vocally like no notes, as you said, Michal. I think Liamy could be one to watch with the juries. Like, he might be given a little bit of love here and there that we don't expect him to get, and then it just might not come through as much with the televote then. But I think he could do better than maybe people anticipate. But yeah, this is probably one I'll just sail through and be waiting for our pop girly who's up next. Jacqueline with Effortless. Give us the notes. Give us the tea. He loves the pop girly. What are you thinking?
Jacqueline delivered. This is how you debuted at Melody Festival in 2024. You give us a modern take on the mellow pop we love. You can hear a nod to, you can almost hear like an ABBA nod with that gloon, like in the chorus, the piano. I think it's like gimme, gimme, gimme. You hear that. You also hear Agnes, Swedish superstar references. You hear Dua Peep references. But again, it's pop. It's digestible. And it has some real depth to it. Like that. Like, it's got some really nice musical moments. And this is second favorite to win, like, at the moment. So this is really resonating with people. I thought the stage show was very Sacha Jean-Baptiste. It's what we're used to seeing. What I really would like for the final is for her to give us a bit more conviction and a bit more, you know what I mean? I think she just needs to get a bit more confidence on stage and more comfortable. But I wouldn't mind seeing this in Malmö. Actually, I'd love it. I'd love it to see it in Malmö, but I don't think that we will see it. But this is great for the playlists. Happy Days and Cassiopeia's second song in the final.
We love to see women doing well. Mm-hmm. We really love to see it. This is giving, in terms of staging, remember Destiny, Malta.
Jimmy Cass.
Yeah, that kind of like pinky red hue, the dancers, like this kind of like platform, like that they're all rectangular, that they're all in. Her looking fabulous. Great to have a new Melfest pop girly on the rise. Things we love to see. I haven't like got the song hooked into my head as much as I'd like yet, but I think, you know, getting it live on Saturday, that may change things. It does feel like a song to experience live. It also reminds me a lot of a previous Melfest song, is it One Touch, which I don't think was performed as well live. Was it KDA 2 or something? Was that artist's name? One Touch. Love Island kind of EDM track. But yeah, I'm liking this a lot, and this is probably one of my biggest growers of the Melody Festival in season, and Jacqueline has really impressed me. So I hope she does well in the final. I don't think we'll see her in Malmö either. What are your thoughts, Gunnar?
Yeah, to be honest, like, this doesn't do much for me, unfortunately, and I would hope to think that, you know, it grows on me as we get nearer, maybe on the night itself, but... Yeah, like, I don't really have much to add. It's just, it's not doing it for me. And it's a shame. I just think there's better songs ultimately in the final to vote for. But yeah, not really much to add. I don't, probably the song that I have least to say on it, to be honest. Yeah. It just hasn't grabbed my attention.
It's great to see a debut entry win the heat and go on to become a favorite. Like, we haven't seen that very often. So yeah, we've got a new Melfest pop girly. Probably we'll see her back next year, you know, with maybe a stronger. This is a great package, but even stronger, you know, like we've seen Maria Sir's confidence grow in the past 12 months. Mm-hmm. We'll maybe say that with Jacqueline. And yeah, we have a new Malfest household name, which we love to see. You know, Victoria was once a newbie. Sanna Nilsson was once a newbie. So, yeah, I think it's a great debut.
Finally, speaking of household names, we have in the running order, Danny Salcedo. I'm so happy that you found me. I'm so happy that you found me. Now heaven's all around me. Just when I thought I was lost. I'm so happy that you found me. With the song, and you know, maybe Nemo would have said this. Happy that you found me. You've been doing a podcast with me for nearly 2 years. You should be used.
That's why it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise
now.
Me, the joke.
He just shakes
his head. The
minute
I said Nemo, I was like, oh, I knew.
I don't even
going...
get a chuckle anymore. No. I just get a...
just a shake. Just oh, a Jesus.
I'll go really quick because I just don't want to spiel because I know I'll do this because I have loved Danny Salcedo for a very long time. I'm completely biased in probably everything I say here. I think he's amazing. I would probably always love everything he does. I can't control that. He is just amazing. This is like such a lovely throwback nod to Danny Salcedo of the past. Like we had amazing and in the club, like, you know, people could say that Happy That You Found Me is on the dated side of things, but I don't think so. Like, I think we can always have like a fun, happy love song with a bit of an EDM edge, a bit of Avicii going through it. Staging could be tidied up if he does make it to Malmö, because at the moment it's giving like not quite Willy Wonka Glasgow, but like on that trajectory with like the bridge gate thing like falling down. It's like, whoa, where'd it go? Did he push that? Is someone behind that pulling it down? I don't know. It's like the staging isn't quite working yet. There's something amiss there that the team needs to fix for Danny. But no doubt with Sweden, if he makes it through to Eurovision, they will ensure that. This is just like, I'm just playing it on my Spotify on loop, just enjoying it. It's happy. I love a happy love song. It feels comfortable. It feels safe. But I still think it could have a competitive edge in Malmö. By no means is it going to win. But like, this is like so solid. I could see it like getting a top 10 or something in Eurovision. I don't know. But I'm a Danny Salcedo super fan, so... if I'm living in a world of delusion, I'm okay with that. You can leave me in my bubble. That's okay.
Jesus. I love that you love it so much.
I love him. Thank you, Connor. That's really nice. Is that all?
I'll be quick. Look, this is not for me. Like, I just find this so dated. The stage show just does not match what I'm listening to. I just don't get this. Like archway and like, where's the dancers? Where's the pyro? Where's all of that? Those elements. I need that. Like, it's meant to be a up tempo, fun song, but he's just like on the stage and like shouting at me that like, happy that you found me. Love it for you, Danny. But like,
he looks
next.
A bit like a bouncer on the door of a nightclub, like with the hands going off.
Where have you seen a bouncer that like enthusiastic about being at the door?
Bouncers
are not very nice people. But anyway, yeah, the start of the song reminds me of It's Complicated, It Always Is.
Oh, yeah.
I always get the do-do-do-do-do-do when I listen to it. But yeah, look, I think this will do well because Danny's a household name and he'll get the televote. But like, I would not like to see this in Malmö whatsoever. I know we were saying earlier with Medina and myself, like, you're meant to have fun and have a party. This is a party I'd rather just like sit out and like stay at home and watch like Netflix or something, unfortunately. But yeah, I love that you love it though. I'm trying to be kind. Michal, save me. How do you feel about Danny?
Save me.
Mop up on Eurovision Isle song number 12. I wish we could swap Marcus and Martinez's staging with Danny's because then the package is complete. Right now we're at like 65, 70. And we need to top that up. I know he has said that, you know, I want to do this by myself because, you know, sometimes you can be lost behind dancers in the show. And I'm like, but that's what we know you are. That's your brand. That's what we expect. We expect Danny to bring the show. You're a stage man. You literally did a residency here in Stockholm that you then toured to other parts of Sweden with. We know you as this rat-a-tat-a guy. And now you've low-key ghosted us. Like, what is this gaslighting about? But, like, it's... I don't even know if I want to include that. But, like, it's just... It's not what we expect, and the disappointment is real on the ground for sure. Because, like I said, he has toured, he has a residency, he's known for being the showman, and we're not getting the showmanship, we're not getting the extras. And I would love to think that right now he's in a studio somewhere in Stockholm. He actually goes to my gym, so maybe he's across the street in the studio with new dancers talking about how they're going to fix the staging. They're getting the bank together to try to get some pyro. Maybe they're sorting out the fallen arch. Maybe it doesn't need to fall because it doesn't. It's messy.
Do you think he pushes at me, Hall, or what happens there?
No, I think there's a cue for that to drop.
Because he kind of goes up and does this like awkward, like, and I was like, is he chicken pushing dance. It? Like, with his face?
Does. There's this, it comes across like he's not in it or doesn't care, but that's not what this is. He really does care. He wants to win. And he says when he competes in English, so he said this at the press launch in December. I heard it from his mouth. He said, when I sing in English, I'm here to compete. When I do it in Swedish, like Dandy Dansa, I'm just there to experiment and have fun with music. So he really would like this. And it would be a lovely full circle moment after everything for Loreen to hand him the trophy. Can you imagine after the saga of 2012? It would be lovely, what, 12 years later for her to hand the trophy to him. And I would like to see him in Malmö if the package gets updated. But as it is right now, I'm not sure. But on the voting, does Marcus and Martinez and him go head to head? Because they're giving us the same thing. Who has the edge? Who then comes through? How does he do on the jury? And like you said, Lou and Connor, he's well known here. People like and respect him. So then that leaves me to say that I still believe that Saturday is open. It's not no runaway winner just yet due to all these different factors. Like you, Lou, I'm a Sacedo stan, and this is the perfect little trilogy to end the club amazing.
It's funny you mentioned Dandy Dansa, because when he came out with that, everybody was like, oh, it's in Swedish, and like, it's not like really EDM, it's kind of like theatrical. And but his staging to Dandy Dansa was so cool. He had like this kind of like house, and he like pulled you in, and he was like dancing around the house. He had this like fun suit on. Even something like that might have suited Happy That You Found Me a little bit better in terms of staging. And on the Danny Sacedo Loreen in front, because for context, just for any listeners who don't know, the year Loreen won with Euphoria in 2012, she, of course, won Melody Festival and went on to win Eurovision. Danny Sacedo was the runner-up with his song Amazing, which a lot of Melody Festival and fans and Swedish people still love. It's such a banger. And you know, he had amazing staging as well, kind of like with Air last year. It was just a shame that Amazing was in Loreen's year, because he probably would have won Melody Festival in any other year with that song. And then last year, I don't know how, but when we went out to Melody Festival, and I think it was right before we went into the arena, it was probably you, Michal, or someone told me, they were like, you know that Danny Sacedo is the interval, and I was like, what? No. And I lost my mind. I was like, I can't wait for Danny. And I was like, I can't believe it. Like, he's in Melody Festival, and again, he's like getting this whole interval act, and still Loreen's overshadowing him. She's winning the whole night. So yeah, it would be like poetic justice for him to finally do the thing, for him to finally win Melody Festival. And but I agree, Michal, in terms of Saturday night's prospects, in terms of the final, like, him, Marcus Martinez, I'm feeling like they are my two favorites as well. So I could be completely biased, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I do feel like we're looking at Danny versus Marcus and Martinez. And if we're talking about who we think is going to win, I think the twins might have the edge. But it's kind of the newbies on the block from the next country over, with like the slick staging and like the youth audience locked in versus the household name. We've seen him before. He's reliable. We know he's a good person. He's good personality. He really wants it. The staging could do with some work, but like that's fixable. I don't know. Am I in delusion there thinking?
No, I think you're spot on. I think we are going to end up looking at a split screen with Danny and Marcus de Martinez. I think it'll really come down to how they do on that live performance on Saturday. And please, may the Pop and Sacha Jean-Baptiste gods be with him. I'm lighting the holy candle that they do come to their senses. Aftonbladet, actually, that's a Swedish newspaper, reported that one of the artists at Mellow this year had not been speaking to their record label for the past 6 months. And I'm like, if y'all tell me that's Danny Saucedo, it makes sense, because you can tell that this was not the package that they initially thought of when submitting this. So I hope they've had a nice fika together, had a cinnamon bun, and sorted it all out in the name of pop music.
Connor, who do you think, like, not, we'll go to our personal preferences after. Mm-hmm. Who do you think, like, looking at the results of the heat so far and stagings and whatever else, who do you think is going to win Melody Festival on Saturday?
If I was to put money on it, I would probably say the twins, Marcus and Martinez, edge it out for me. I just look at their running order. They're in a really, really nice spot. They have a ballad either side of them, so they'll stand out. I wouldn't rule out Maria, though. You know, I know she's opening, so that's probably the only thing that would put me off, but like the song is really, really catchy and the stage show is brilliant, so I wouldn't rule out her either. Danny, I don't know. I understand the televote, but I just think an international jury, they'll be looking at the stage package as a whole and not thinking of, you know, they could change it going forward, and just within the other stage shows within the final itself, there's better ones there to choose. So I don't know, but also he is in a very nice running order slot as well. But the end of the show is very noisy. You know, we have Medina, Liamu, Jacqueline, and Danny as well. It's a lot of, like, there's nothing that would kind of break that trend of, like, you know, popping in a little ballad there that would help maybe the likes of Liamu or Danny to do better on the scoreboard. So that's why I just think Marcus and Martinez have the edge, because they have a nice running order slot, nice songs around them that don't really, you know, match them in terms of tempo. Stage shows as well, there's nothing really around it either. So that's why I think Marcus and Martinez are the winners. But yeah, Michal, what about you calling?
So yeah, like Lou said, I can see a split screen happening. I can see the likelihood of Danny and Marcus and Martinez, you know, finding out the result between the two of them. But I, like you, Connor, I still see a path of victory for Maria Sur, and I really didn't think I'd be saying this, but her song hits and it really is resonating with people. And like Marcus and Martinez being sandwiched between Annika and Daughter, after Maria, we're not getting our next upbeat song until Cassie, and then the next upbeat song after that isn't until Marcus and Martinez. So people will be like, oh, it wasn't as good as Maria. It wasn't as good as Maria. You know, after Maria is Jay Smith, Lisa Ajax, then we're into rock. So it's like she really has that running order on her side, which will help. You know, and people are tuned in. People are sitting down with in their groups or their friends, ready to watch the Mellow final. And the first one they see is a banger. So it would be a real pop justice. The only other person to win in position one for Melody Festivalen is my lord and savior, Charlotte Pirelli Nielsen, with Hero in 2008. So there's big shoes to fill, but our Maria could do it. The wee dote.
Lou, who are you calling? Who's the winner?
I think I already said it a minute ago. It's a split screen, but the twins will have the edge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think split screen, Danny and twins, but the twins will have the edge.
Personal fave then.
Personal fave.
Personal winner.
It's honestly the two, the twins and Danny. I think In terms of song, probably Danny. But in terms of the whole package, it's the twins. I'm most excited to see the twins' performance on Saturday. And that's the way I felt with Air last year as well. I couldn't wait to experience that live in the Friends Arena. So, yeah, they're probably my tied personal favourites. What about you, Connor?
Probably personal. I'm picking two, Daughter and Lisa Ajax. Those are my two personal faves that I'm streaming the most out of the songs.
You going for the girls and me going for the lads?
Yeah. Me going for the sad, the sad ballads. The,
yeah.
Obviously a mood or Connor's something going on.
Yeah, you're entering your sad girl era.
I am. What about you, Michal? Who is your personal winner?
Personal favorite as of right now, I've just decided it's Maria. I cannot wait to see that live. Closely followed by Jacqueline with Effortless, then third place is Daughter. Yeah, that would be my top three. And it would be a nice little cherry on top of Medina won. But yeah, the three ladies have taken up my top three this year.
Amazing. Guys, I can't wait to be walking around Stockholm together, getting a fika. Get me them cinnamon buns, please. Please.
Michal, we need a weather update because this time last year we were like touch and go with the snow, both here and in Stockholm. So are we safe now? Is it cold but dry? What are we looking at? Over to weather now with Michal.
How do I pack?
Hello, can you hear me? Don't make unnecessary. No, I'm joking.
Unbelievably, people have been swimming in the sea.
So I can give you a little weather report in Stockholm. We haven't seen snow in the last 2 weeks, which is good to hear and see because imagine how tired we are. It was 0 degrees all day today, so do bring extra layers, wrap up. We're going to see a high of 7 on Wednesday, but you might not be here yet. So, but yeah, it's still cold, but no snow.
Good. We had snow here on Friday, so we're used to it at this point. Just crazy thing.
No, it'll be fun. I can't wait to see you guys and Shayna the fucking house down. Shayna Alihupa. Y'all can't tell him fika pack. Yeah, that's what you'll be shouting.
Well, that is all we've got to talk about with Melody Festival in 2024. It is up to the public and, of course, the juries to decide who will represent Sweden this year. So we will await the results and, of course, party our hearts away in Stockholm this weekend. As always, Melfest Michal, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It was lovely to speak with you and we will see you very, very soon. Why are you hearting up there?
Thank you so much. A little heart.
Whoa.
That's so funny.
That's so cool.
Thank you so much for having me. As I say every time, it's like a starstruck moment being on with you two because I listen to you every time an episode drops. You really keep me company in my walks and my commute to work. So thank you on behalf of all the listeners and everyone else. You guys are doing God's work for the Irish Eurovision fan community. Big love to you both.
As are you, especially for the fans of Melody Festival and Melfest Michal, and thank you for your time. Taksamiket.
Takedo. With me in Paris on the shores.